listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 147 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, and joining me for this roundtable discussion is the one and only Chris Robley. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm very, very close to launching that campaign we talked about last time. So it's everything is done, you know, like it's all put together. I'm just literally waiting to press like whatever the button is that launches the Pledge Music campaign.
I think there is a button. It is something that you kind of do need a pause, a little bit of calm before the storm starts. So,
yeah. Well, and also I figure, you know, I don't want to launch it on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday. So I'll wait maybe mid next week or something just to get more eyes on it. But
interesting. Yeah. So that'll be cool. You'll have to make sure you post online about it. I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly you're going to post this, but maybe people can check it out by the time they hear it.
Do you have your whole strategy together?
No.
You're a real artist.
I just don't post it on Facebook and people start giving you money?
Well, that's what I've heard. I think that's all you have to do these days. So,
yeah. I have to pay Facebook.
No, wait, I forgot.
See it.
That's true, but you just need to film your cat. So go make a video of your cat, which you do have cats, and then you'll be good. That's all you need on the internet these days. So
I'm set then.
All right. So we've got some news items, some interesting things, a little bit of an update from our last episode. And then we're going later on in the episode, we're going to talk about, speaking of pressing go and making your campaign go live, we're going to talk about if release dates even matter. And that being said, let's get into some news.
Music.
Music. News.
Well, in the last episode of the podcast, we talked about the awkward Tidal launch press conference that they had. Well, Jay-Z's new streaming service is off to a rough start. According to AppAnnie.com, the Tidal app peaked at number 24 on the app download charts and has quickly fallen down to around the 900 mark on the charts. Many have said without a free tier, it will be very hard for Tidal to get traction, and so far, it's looking like they are right. Some news from here at the home office at CD Baby. CD Baby just announced our expansion of CD Baby Pro into the UK marketplace. So now songwriters in the US, Canada, and the UK are now eligible for the Worldwide Publishing Administrative Service. To find out more about CD Baby Pro, check out members.cdbaby.com/pro. Well, Facebook announced an update to their numbers as it relates to their popularity, which shows it now boasts a whopping 1.4 billion monthly active users. That translates to just over a fifth of the planet using the social media network. If you combine the active user numbers of the music industry's two leading free audio services, Spotify with 60 million and Pandora with 82 million, you reach 142 million, almost exactly 9/10 smaller than Facebook. Most interesting for the music business will be the stat which shows 4 billion daily video views are currently being hosted on Facebook. That figure is expected to be bearing down on YouTube, which boasts just over a billion users every month. Well, finally, after 7 months of semi-public back and forth, a conversation instigated in part by Aussie piracy and Beyoncé's surprise release in December of 2013 has resulted in the global recording industry accepting Friday as the release date for new albums. The shift will take place this summer. According to a statement from the International Federation of Phonographic Industry, the IFPI, as I like to call them, which represents labels worldwide, a study found that a majority of consumers who bother to care which day new music comes out prefer to hear it on Fridays and Saturdays. Music fans live in the digital world of today, wrote IFPI head Francis Moore. Their love for new music doesn't recognize national borders. They want music when it's available on the internet, not when it's ready to be released in their country. An aligned global release day puts an end to the frustration of not being able to access releases in their country when the music is available in another country. The change is scheduled to take place on July 10th, 2015. So we'll see if anyone cares or if it makes a difference in how people consume music. So that's the news. And that last news item, sort of the fuel for some of the conversation we'll have later. But what about Tidal? That's
well, I hadn't heard those app stats, which are pretty atrocious. But what I have seen is probably three or four spoof satire videos using the Tidal launch video kind of as a starting point.
I haven't seen that sounds hilarious.
Oh, they're amazing. I mean, one of them shows, you know, when they're sort of sitting around a conference table.
Yeah.
You know, it's Madonna and Jack White and Daft Punk and Jay-Z and Kanye and all these people. And so the Tidal launch video is all them gathering around a conference table. And one of the spoof videos shows you like what they're watching on TV as if they were all just like watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally ridiculous. The other one I saw just today was basically like use that same footage to talk about like the poor millionaires, like we need to make sure they make more money, and goes through each one of them, how much they're worth, different like stats about them. It was, you know, a little more pointed, but still funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember where the conversation was when we talked about it last on the podcast, but there's been lots of blowback about them not having a true representation of the musician middle class, which they say they're trying to help in their launch. And yeah, they've kind of become the brunt of a lot of jokes. And it's, you know, I'm all for somebody who's trying to make something better for artists succeeding, and the, you know, especially with the high fidelity streaming, I think that's an idea that is intriguing to me. But yeah, it seems like they've kind of launch has not gone according to plan, and they're not getting any traction. So
it's such a shame too, because if that really was you know, kind of built into the fabric of this relaunch for them, like they could have done it so much better and probably had way more impact for, certainly for indie artists. I don't know about for, you know, you're sort of your average listener, but if you get the artists on board, then they can at least start directing their fans to that service and saying, hey, you know, like, if you're going to stream my music, check it out on Tidal. And slowly that might have helped them. But
yeah, I think they're trying to retool and head in that direction, but it may be too little too late. You know, it's one of those things that I think when you're amongst that crowd of multi-millionaire musicians all on stage together, when you're one of those folks, seems like they have a hard time not seeing beyond themselves. So, you mean I can use celebrity for good? Help others?
I was just remembering one of the points of one of the satire videos. They said Jay-Z's net worth is something like $550 million. And so the reason we're supposed to feel bad for him and pay $19.99 every month on Tidal is because he was rejected from the billionaire club. They wouldn't let him in. And so, you know, poor Jay-Z.
Yeah. Well, so, hey, half a billion does not make a billion. If you want to get in the billionaire club, go make yourself a billion. He'll get there.
Yeah,
he'll get eventually there. Yeah. So interesting. It still seems like they're rolling out new announcements daily. They fired a bunch of folks, and it'll be interesting to watch. Facebook, that, you know, there was rumors of Facebook taking a dip and struggling to grow, but it seems like, you know, a good portion of the planet still using Facebook. And the one thing that is worth highlighting is how video has become so popular on the platform. I don't think this means you should ditch YouTube, because I think as far as YouTube is concerned, it is a platform designed to distribute your videos. And that's more the direction that YouTube keeps going, to kind of make channels and the way people use it more conducive to sharing videos and the way people want to watch videos online. But it's interesting with YouTube, with Facebook, that, you know, when you open up your feed on Facebook, it seems like if you post something with a video, it is getting featured far more prominently than if you just post text or a photo. So I know Facebook is really interested in developing things out more with video, but we'll see what happens there. It's worth throwing in your feed if you've got videos that you've been posting to YouTube. Instead of posting the link to YouTube, every once in a while, try to see if there's a difference if you post the video directly to Facebook.
I mean, I think there definitely is. I mean, that's what everyone's talking about for sure, that it's more likely to get displayed in people's feeds if it's, you know, native to Facebook. But the frustrating thing about it for me is, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was posting videos to Facebook directly. And then it seemed to be like, oh, no, we should switch to YouTube because we really want to boost the, you know, the views on there. And then over the past like 6 months, I've been thinking like, oh, I should now have to go and like upload all those videos I never put on Facebook. I don't know. It's just another shift in the social media realm. That's kind of a pain in the ass, but.
Yeah, the only thing that it's interesting to me is that, you know, we might want to do kind of a social network update episode coming up soon, where we just kind of talk about the state of affairs and if certain networks are even worth engaging on anymore. Facebook for artists is starting to get that way, where it may not even be worth it. They just announced this past week, I think it was, that they're changing their algorithm again, where unless you're paying for your post to be seen for pages, which are, if you've got an artist page, your posts aren't really going to be seen at all. And it's so unfortunate that they're doing that. But what they're trying to do is make companies that have, for the most part, a lot of companies have these pages. They want them to pony up to pay for those posts to be seen like ads, and basically support the rest of the social network on that.
Yeah. I mean, what I've seen a lot of people doing is, if they're sort of solo singer-songwriters, they just favor their personal profile up until that point where their friends are capped off. What is, I don't know if it's still 5,000 friends or whatever that limit is, but they post more stuff there, or they'll create a group and invite a bunch of people to it. And then, as far as I understand, those updates get seen way more regularly to members of groups. So,
yeah. And we do a lot of advertising on Facebook here at CD Baby. And I can tell you that even from using their advertising, it's still not entirely clear how you get people to see your posts, because they'll want you to optimize, and it's like you have to sometimes pay quite a bit of money just to reach what used to be just the natural reach of a post. It's kind of frustrating, and I don't know. At some point, it seems like they're going to have to retool that, or companies are going to start losing interest in it being a platform where you can actually reach your audience. And I mean more for, like, you know, artists who aren't going to spend a ton of money and all their time running Facebook ads. So for companies, big corporations that like Coke and Pepsi that have millions to just dump on Facebook and have people, a whole team working on
have
it all day.
Team,
yeah,
right,
that's something different. But for the average artist that operates like a small business, it's going to be something that I'm not sure, you know, if it's going to be worth a concerted effort. I think you still have to have a presence there, and Facebook events are probably the best thing for promoting shows, but it's still getting, it gets frustrating every time they limit it more and limit it more.
Yeah. As my friend Rob says, Facebook is the great swindle of the 21st century. did I tell you his analogy?
No, you did not.
He says that, this is a friend of mine who's a musician and producer and recording engineer. He basically says that Facebook is this great swindle. They threw this giant party and they said there was an open bar and like, come on, everyone come in, and they got everyone to the party. And then once we were all there, they locked us all individually in rooms, basically said, you can come out if you pay us, and the bar is no longer free. You got to pay for drinks, but you can't really leave the party because everyone's at the party. So Even though no one's connecting on the party. They're all trapped in this giant house.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe. Sounds like.
But then every time I post about Facebook on the DIY Musician blog, a bunch of people write and they say, Facebook is the most powerful advertising tool we have as indie musicians. And they give examples of how they've effectively used advertisements and whatnot to,
And there's some good, forward. There's some good ideas out there. And we need to have a Facebook throwdown 2015 and get some updated stories and hear some things, you know, some of those success stories that people have done recently, because if the success story is over a year old, it's probably, while it's maybe still a good idea, probably not accurate because Facebook has changed the way it works so much. So anyway, we'll have to do that. So if you've got a Facebook story, we'd love to hear it. You can call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. Lastly, I'll point out before we get into the topic of discussion that CD Baby Pro, we've opened that up to more territories. So we're continuing to open that up to more places. And it's really starting to drive some revenue for artists. So it's a pretty cool thing. So now the UK is online, Canada, and here in the US. And we have our sights set on a few other territories. But right now, that covers a good portion of artists using our services. We still have artists in pretty much every country on the planet, but we're coming your way soon if you're not in one of those territories.
Yeah, and if people just at quick glance don't know the benefit, we can help you collect a publishing portion of your performance royalties, but also the big selling point for me is that we get mechanical royalties for streaming and international downloads, so which are pretty much impossible for indie artists to get on their own.
Yeah, you won't be able to get those on your own. Technically, they say that you can, but you really can't. I mean, it's a matter of getting publishers and sub-publishers and performing rights societies around the world to actually take your phone call and do work for you, which is a challenge. So let's get to our discussion for today. We were talking about release dates and whether or not they matter, and that we've got this whole global release date launching. First off, a little bit more about release dates, just in case you absolutely have no idea what we're talking about. Around the world, every territory has pretty much had their own release date, and here in the US, it's been Tuesday forever. Other countries, it's been Friday or Saturday, and I think there was even a pretty big region where it was a Sunday. But anyway, the idea was that, you know, it takes a lot to orchestrate marketing and all the stuff that goes along with the launch of an album and also getting product in stores. So everybody kind of has to know that, hey, this is the day you can start selling the music. It's going to take us some time to ship it there. You may get it early, but you can't start selling it till this date, and that's when all our push behind it's going to happen. And especially back in the days of where everything was still a physical medium, it was really important because if you didn't get a good sales volume that first week, it's a good chance the store would not stock more, or they would move you off the shelf for something that was selling because there was limited shelf space. So now that we're in a mostly digital world, and we have the ability to release music whenever we want, I thought it'd be an interesting discussion to even talk about. Does this even matter? Do release dates even matter? Chris, what are your thoughts?
Well, the first thing I could say is that Benji Rogers from Pledge Music has a little quote that I pulled and I put on our blog a couple weeks ago, where basically he says, his opinion is that for indie artists, you're going to be competing with absolutely everyone else on the planet on a Friday that's all releasing music at the same time. And so what that means is the giant, giant artists that already have, you know, all the marketing muscle are the ones that are going to suck up all the attention and lots of the sales, probably most of the sales. And if you're competing with all that, you're going to lose out. So his opinion is like, if you can work with CD Baby or whoever your distributor is, or you know, or just put it out on your website at your own time, whenever it works for you and your fans. So keep releasing music on Tuesday or Sunday morning or whatever, just some time to make it unique where you're not fighting against that like ramp up to the giant release day. Because you know, he also said probably Thursdays, most of the music media is all going to be talking about the big releases the following day. So
yeah, the interesting thing to me about this change, and I will say I partially agree with him. I agree, well, maybe 80%. It just depends on your strategy, because part of the thing that's interesting to me with this change is that Tuesday seemed like a good day to me to build up to the weekend, when a lot of those people probably like going to the record store and getting the new album. They've been hearing about it. It's like kind of this marketing push throughout the week where I wonder if that will change at all on a Saturday. The thing I would say about Benji's comment is that I would agree that for the most part, you don't have to be the release date doesn't have to be dictated by the mainstream industry. Do what's best for you and your fans. However, if you would like to get featured on Spotify or iTunes, you're going to have to do a release date, which is on that day. So the reason they're doing those release dates is because, like I mentioned in the news, that I think Australia's might have been first on a Monday, or it might have been the one that was on Sunday, and people would start pirating the tracks because they weren't available in the US or other places. And so the idea is to make it all more uniform and so that the music's available. But you know, the stores are going to be featuring new music on that day. And if you want to be featured, which we do get artists featured at CD Baby on a regular basis on the iTunes various genre pages and sometimes even the main page. So if you want to participate in that, or are hoping to have your music featured on those services, that's where the release date does matter.
Sure. And then if you consider that, like, sometimes the staggered releases weren't just like Monday to Tuesday to Friday. Sometimes it was like a month away, you know.
Yeah.
You'd release in the US in January, and then in the UK it comes out in February and whatever. So it does make more sense to sort of bring it all together for a particular release. But I don't feel like having every release come out at the same exact time on the same day necessarily makes sense. But I mean, you're right about capitalizing on certain promo opportunities if they're available to you. I get that part.
Yeah. And I, you know, the thing is, it might be to the independent artist advantage to continue to release on a Tuesday, because, you know, just because the new release date changes, consumer habits might, you know, a lot of folks know that, oh, on Tuesday, I'll open up iTunes and see what's new. And it may be that they start looking to see what new albums are out. And it may be that it takes time for the consumers to learn that, oh, you know what? They don't release them on Tuesday anymore. It's now Friday. So,
yeah. I mean, for me, the thing that I think is important is not necessarily like setting a marker and saying that releasing at that particular time on that day is important. What I think is definitely still important is that each artist for each release sets a time and date and then builds towards it and creates that momentum and anticipation, and you know, it becomes the cause around which their community and maybe their whole band, if there's multiple artists or whatever, they all can rally together and push and get press and get you know, it's kind of an excuse to go all out and book a tour and put all your energy into it, basically.
Yeah. And so when we're talking about do release dates matter anymore, I've got a couple of reasons here why I think they do. And part of the idea for the conversation is we see so many artists now that don't use release dates. They just, when their album's done, they post it, or they're just posting a constant stream of music. So there's never really a release date. I've got a list of reasons why I think it's still important, but yeah, I think you took a different approach than what I did.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking was basically that thought that I just stated, which is the release date is the excuse to get this momentum building. And then if you don't do that, I feel like there's a whole bunch of opportunities you might miss. So sort of like I was thinking about how to make an effective album push that builds towards a release date. That was kind of the things I'd written down.
That's kind of the angle I took at it. I think the first thing that I had on my list was basically what you just said, that it's an event to rally around and forget iTunes, forget Spotify, just assume they're not going to feature your music, you know, because there's so many limited slots. Not saying that to be pessimistic, but even, you know, I had iTunes feature one of the Hello Morning albums and then a follow-up they didn't even, you know, even consider. And then some of the stuff that I thought would get featured didn't. It's weird. So it's no rhyme or reason to why sometimes things get featured and other times they don't. So you can just assume that it's not, but there's a lot more to the industry than just those folks. And creating an event to rally around is pretty important to things like club bookers and the press and your fans. But really seeing that, okay, this is an event where I can have an excuse to email more often, have an excuse and it's easier to build ideas around leading up to that point.
Yeah, I mean, and I know the world has shifted and journalists are getting more used to the idea of sort of a constant stream of musical output. But I mean, certainly for me, and I think probably for most bloggers and journalists still, like, it's way more exciting to get a press release or an email from an artist saying, hey, like, this is my album that's coming out. I haven't put out an album out in 2 years. As opposed to like, hey, here's another song every single month. Like, it's easy to tune that out as opposed to like, hey, this is this, you know, definitive statement that I want to make for this portion of my artistic life. And I'd be more likely to write about that as a journalist than kind of like the, hey, more music is out.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I like about having a specific release date is that folks, especially press and even with fans, there's needs to be an ebb and flow. If you have a constant stream of music coming out, like a new single every week, that can get you some publicity and can build your fans. We've done episodes of the podcast about that. But I think over time that can get a bit noisy and easy to tune out and feel like you haven't done anything new because it feels like you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Where with a release date, it feels like with music, you know, there's a band that you like, they have a new album out, you get excited, it might be your favorite record for a while, you go see them on tour, and then they kind of disappear for a bit while they work on new music and take a break from the road. And as a fan, I'm kind of okay with that as long as it's not too long and it gives me a chance to kind of enjoy other things and then get really excited about them again when something new is coming out and that I can kind of build anticipation for. And I think as far as on the fan side, it's really important to kind of see that as this is an opportunity where I can re-engage with my fans, have lots of stuff to talk about, get them excited, remind them of the old stuff, get them excited of the new stuff, and help propel things to the next level or just the next season of making music.
Yeah, it's interesting that this is the topic that you chose for today because it was yesterday morning on the DIY Musician blog, someone had commented on an older article that was about album releases. And they basically said, you know, I'm in the kind of like relatively unknown local band. We don't tour. We're not going to do any kind of national campaign or anything like that. So why does it matter? Why does my release date matter? Why can't I just get the CDs back from the manufacturer and just release it and have, you know, instead of planning a release show that's 3 months out and doing. And I told them, I was like, everything may be on a smaller scale, but I still feel like building that anticipation towards a target that's like a little bit further out kind of has the same effect, even if you're just going to get maybe a story written in your local newspaper or something. But like, I think it's the same just on a smaller scale. I think that's important.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, if all you want to do is release an album and if you've already been playing a lot of shows, and, you know, maybe you've already built up a following in the local scene and you're just like not feeling motivated to to put on, make the extra effort to put on an event or a marketing push. You know, it's not the end of the world that you just post it and go live with it. But when you're trying to, you know, make inroads with folks, it's so much easier, especially press. When you give them an album and it hasn't come out yet and they have lead time to write a story, and it hits them so differently than if you like, hey, this album's been out for 6 months. We got a good thing going. Chances are the press is going to say, well, why don't you hit me up when you got your next release coming out and give me some time.
Which could be years away at that point.
I mean, I know there's lots of examples where that's not the case, where something good is happening. Like, oh, cool, this is this new band that's up and coming in this market. And that can happen. But I was talking to someone from NPR recently, and the same kind of thing. They think story. They think kind of landmark type events happening that are pressworthy and things can things can, you know, kind of hook that storyline on and kind of build a story from the last release. It's kind of like they want to have it in a peak, in a moment of excitement, and not a moment of, oh, this has kind of been happening for a while, going status quo. So again, there's lots of examples of where artists have gotten great press or made inroads, but it's just the idea of, hey, you got something new coming out. It at minimum, set a future release date and pause, you know, and take a deep breath before you go live and kind of, I don't know, refocus yourself to going to the next phase of promoting the music and playing live if you play live, as opposed to, you know, coming out of recording, scrambling to get it done, and then making it live and then kind of going, oh, I don't have
energy. Yeah, right.
It's like, I'm done with this.
Well, what I told the guy that was sort of the local band that didn't know if there was a point in waiting, I told him, wait to set the official release date. Tell the press that's the official release date. You know, don't put it in stores until then, or don't put it up on iTunes until then. But if you're playing shows around town, like, you, I don't feel like there's any problem with just selling it to your fans, like, as soon as you have it, because it's a chance to get as many sales as you can. And if they like it, then that's even more of a thing that'll help build the anticipation for when it's sort of officially released. But, you know, I don't know what kind of distinction that is. But I was just sort of saying, if you're really excited for your current fans and friends and family to get it, just give it to them. But tell the world that it's not available yet.
Yeah, there is something to be said for, you know, building a little anticipation. And, you know, going back to things like iTunes, if you set your release date, I think it has to be at least 30 days out. They might have changed that recently. I thought I heard something about it, but I think it's still just 30 days. Then you can turn on pre-orders. And at first, when people were talking about pre-orders, I was like, what does it matter? It's going to be available on that day. But there has been some interesting stories that I've heard where people have used pre-orders almost like a mini fan funding, where you can go buy it and support the album and then make a big splash on the release date. And what happens with pre-orders is, say, you know, it's available for 2 months by pre-order. And this is a trick that the major labels have been using for a while. All those sales get counted on day one of your album release date. So if you've been selling the album for 2 months and you've sold, you know, several thousand copies on day one, it's going to look like you sold several thousand copies on that day. So it's easy to pop up on iTunes charts and things like that and give you a little bit more visibility and people kind of discovering your music and showing up on top lists of, you know, sales lists and such. So that's one thing that a release date can give you, some time to build some strategy around those things as well.
Yeah, with CD Baby 2, you can also do a pre-sale through Amazon for you know, digital music.
Yep. So is there any reasons why they don't matter? Do you have any items that you say, oh, this is all BS, it doesn't matter?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, the total purist in me that says that the story and the hook and the spin and the press release and all of that is just BS, and all that matters is the music and getting it to your fans. That part of me thinks, yeah, just put it out. It's done, put it out. But then that part of me is also pretty foolish because I live in the real world. So
idealistic.
I know. Well, I tuck my ideals away when I think about, you know, oh, you have to actually enter this world of press and PR, and you have to play it smart if you want people to listen to your music. So
yeah, well, and I think it's beyond, well, not beyond that. I think your idealistic side is fine, and we commend you for that. But I think more so, I think if you think all the press and all that stuff's just BS, I think the one thing that you can't deny is that there are patterns that consumers have been trained in. And whether or not you want to acknowledge that, that's totally your call. But the idea that, hey, consumers, music fans have been trained that there's patterns in how these things work. And it's usually easier to tap into those folks when you do things in a way that they recognize and are used to than if you just try to do your own thing. Sometimes doing your own thing can be the best thing ever, but you know, it just depends on your fans. But just recognizing that there's patterns to the way the world works, and if you recognize that and try to speak in ways that fans and are used to and release it the way they're used to, that it's probably going to make more sense to them.
Sure. And we've probably said this a bunch of times on the podcast already, but like when you think of Beyonce or Radiohead dropping an album, you know, sort of unknown overnight, suddenly it's in the world, no one knew it was coming, and it becomes this huge story. Like, that's probably not going to work for most of our listeners because you're not Radiohead and you're not Beyonce. So playing with those consumer expectations is a benefit, probably. You know, as opposed to just saying, hey, here's my music.
Yeah, and the Beyonce one was specifically a response to the fact that if it was released by the typical patterns of release days, that the album would be pirated before it was available around the world and eat into sales. So let's just surprise everybody and drive a lot of excitement, this unexpected thing that by this artist that sells a lot of music. Yeah, that's not going to work for somebody that's, I don't even think that would be really build a buzz for somebody that's even, you know, a decently established band that, you know, makes their full-time living from music and has a good fan base. I don't even think that's that effective for that. It was just like someone that's so big, like Beyonce doing it. It's like, oh my gosh, what happened? You know,
even Radiohead didn't repeat it after In Rainbows. You know, they never went back to a totally traditional model, but for their next album, they people definitely knew it was coming.
So to sum up, we think release dates still matter. That's our official position here on the podcast. At some level, they still matter.
Yeah. Go. You know, actually, before we close the conversation, though, can I run through a quick list of things I think everyone should do along with their release?
Absolutely. Let's
do it. Or to build towards it.
Let's do it.
So, well, first, I think creating the awareness that the album is coming while it's being made is important. So, like, you know, real far out. Then about 3 months ahead of the release a single and try and get a premiere or an exclusive with a blog, which will, you know, they'll help promote it as well to their readers and stuff. So you'll get more eyes and ears on it. And that's premiere is basically you're giving a blog the right to premiere your track for a certain short amount of time. An exclusive is like you're agreeing that for a longer amount of time that they're going to be the only source where people can get that song. Anyways, after you do that, follow it up with a video for the same exact song and do the same thing with the premiere or exclusive, and then you kind of double your impact there. What else? I think, yeah, we've talked about PR campaigns before, but, you know, making sure you have your album in hand and then starting that process. So you've got about 3 months lead time before the release show. And then I still think just a CD release show is still important. Like, yeah. So book them.
Yeah. It's definitely easier to get a gig at a club when they know it's your CD release show, 'cause they think you're going to put some extra promotion behind it. And every time I will say, do not schedule your CD release show until you have the finished album in hand. And every time I've broken that rule and every time I've paid for it.
Wait, every single time you've broken that rule?
Since releasing something independently, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's
that's
crazy.
The definition of insanity, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the life of an artist.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because it's like the first album I did independently way back in 2003 or 2004. I scheduled a show. It's a similar thing. Everybody does schedule a show. Oh, this will be done in time. But I actually scored because the disc manufacturer burned off like 150 extra CDs and didn't charge me for them, so we would have some for that show. But then, yeah, every time it's been like with Hello Morning, we would have a show on the books like 5 months away, like plenty of time. That'll be our album release show. And then we're scrambling to get it done in time. And same with Small Town Poets, the stuff we've done. You know, when you do Christmas albums, though, that kind of changes the picture because you're either going to hit that season or you're going to wait another year.
Yeah, you're under the gun for sure for that.
Yeah, yeah. So that changes it for those. But yeah, it's one of those things I keep saying, never again am I going to do this. And
I had a couple housekeeping suggestions too. One is that make sure you update your bio, not just on your website, but all your social media sites to, you know, have information about the new album. And if you can, use maybe some elements of your album art or something that has a similar aesthetic and redo your website and the headers and cover images on all your social profiles to draw attention to the kind of new exciting release that's coming. And then the most pain in the ass of all, make sure you sign up your songs with you know, ASCAP or BMI or whoever you're using, or to make it not a pain in the ass, CD Baby Pro.
Yeah, we'll do that for you. Except for Sound Exchange, you'll still have to go to Sound Exchange directly and sign up your songs, which the process is getting a little easier there, but it's still not simple, and it's easy to procrastinate.
Yeah, and if you really, really want to drive yourself nuts, then you can register your copyright for those songs with the Library of Congress.
Yes. If you got free time. Well, cool. Those are all great suggestions. When you have a new release, it's always nice to just kind of refresh everything. That's another good excuse to just go and refresh everything. New logo or new photos, new look, just kind of gives everything a little bit of a newness to it. Especially people like it when it's tied into the album art and kind of has the same vibe. So those are all good suggestions. So if you have any tips or thoughts or want to weigh in on the subject of album releases or anything else, you can call our listener line at 360-524-2209, or you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And, you know, we might just use it on the show.
We haven't done any listener calls in a while, have we?
Yeah, you know, I need to check and make sure that line still works.
There's probably just like 100 messages. Yeah,
it emails me when there's a message. And there sometimes have been calls. There's some advice. One, if you can keep them brief, I think it cuts you off after 2 minutes. So try to know what you're going to say, because if it gets cut off and you haven't made a point yet or asked a question or whatever, it makes it hard to use. Also, it's helpful if you say your name. That's always helpful. And the biggest tip of all, it is not the CD Baby support line. We've had people call that wanting help for CD Baby. I don't know how they got the number for that, but it is an answering machine. You can leave a message and we will use it. So some of them that have been on topics that I've saved, and some of them we've used, and you know, it also makes a difference of how many episodes we're doing. So yeah. So give us a call, say hello.
We're lonely.
We are. You know, as we close this out, I've been thinking, you know, the new Star Wars teaser trailer came out. I really want to do a discussion about what artists can learn about creativity from the mistakes of George Lucas.
That would be amazing.
I've already got some bullet points. We need to work it up and get it together. I think that title works too. I just came up with that. I was trying the last night. I was thinking, what would the title be? But what artists can learn from the mistakes of George Lucas about creativity? I think it's kind of an interesting topic. People get all upset about Star Wars, what he's done, but. Which I tend to fall into that camp.
Forgetting who your target market and demographic is. That would be
forgetting how to not writing a cohesive story. Well, you know, I was watching the Red Letter Media. If you search for Red Letter Media on YouTube, there's this whole series that they've done about what went wrong with those movies. And it's fascinating because it's almost like a clinic in how to, make a movie. And as far as music is concerned, it's almost an interesting thing to watch about how to convey a consistent story about yourself as an artist. So that's what got me thinking on that stuff, and the idea of how, you know, you create art in a moment of time and then you should just finish and move on. And typically when you go back and try to retool things, you start messing things up. So I think we'll do an episode on that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And we can all geek out over Star Wars.
Yeah, and if you want to see or hear John Williams recording some of that stuff with whatever symphony orchestra, maybe the London Symphony Orchestra, you can go to this new Google thing called Inside Abbey Road. That's awesome. It's like a guided tour of Abbey Road. So everyone should check it out.
Yeah, we've got a link to that on the DIY Musician blog. It's pretty amazing. So Google using their abilities for good. So, all right. Well,
don't be evil.
I think we've pretty much unraveled at this point. So we'll catch you next time on the podcast. So take it easy. Okay. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.